House, please come back to order. Prior to the time we stood at ease. Representative Menard.
I'll lift the call.
Call has been lifted. The objection had been maintained. Is the objection still maintained? The objection is maintained. Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The reason that I object to dividing the question is that in the Finance Committee, we had a more unique process this year, and the consensus of the committee, at least up until the 2.5% and the 2% and the 1.25% and the 0% unallocated reduction took place, at least the intent was, if you're going to try to find money within the budget or to try to add money in the budget, to find a place that you could reduce, because really what has to happen at some point, and it began to happen, I think, this year in the Finance Committee to some extent, you had to find something that was of a lower priority and in order to fund what you thought was a higher priority. And I think that's what the thrust of this amendment is, and why it makes sense to, if we're going to allow for increments in the budget and start making choices, we have to start picking priorities and deciding which are the highest priorities. And I think that that's what this amendment and several others attempt to do, and I think that dividing the question defeats the whole purpose of that reprioritizing government. Thank you.
Representative McLean, were you seeking the floor?
I was just remembering about 3 years ago we did the same thing, and so I would like to ask for the question, divide the question.
Question before the body is, shall the first part of the amendment number 3 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. That's what we're voting on. Shall we divide the question? Excuse me, I misstated it. Question before clear the board. We are now voting on whether or not the question should be divided. Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Will the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member wish to change their vote? Will the clerk please tally the board?
16 yeas, 24 nays.
And so the question has failed to be divided. Puts amendment number 3 before us.
Madam Speaker, talk about open mind process here. Can we have that left up there for a little while? I'd like to absorb some of that.
I can see I may have to take it at ease and use this on Representative Mackey tonight. Question before the body, is the adoption of amendment number 3. Representative Davidson.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I have not yet had the opportunity to address amendment before us and would like to do so at this time.
You have the floor, sir.
Thank you very much, Madam Speaker. If we stop and think of the advantages that public radio has given to our great state, we can be very proud of the effort that people who have made public radio possible, especially to the areas outside the major, as well as inside the major urban areas of our state. For example, we know that in Alaska, public radio has one of the largest per capita memberships of any state in the United States. They always get good marks when they go back to meetings in Washington, and I know that our senior senator from Alaska is also very, very supportive of public radio. In a town like Kodiak, for example, the public radio station, which exists along with a few other private sector stations, and they exist very well. We also have a lot of public service announcements on our public radio station. KMXT also serves as a an emergency broadcasting station. So there are those responsibilities. It truly is public radio, public airwaves for public purposes. And where would we be out in rural Alaska if we could not turn on our public radio station and hear the local school board, or hear the local borough assembly, or the city council? So these meetings would most probably not be broadcast if it were not for public radio. It also provides forums for local talent. Madam Speaker, I would ask that the members please search very deeply and bite the bullet here and vote for House Amendment Number 3, because it's all for the good cause of public radio, and I think it would be something that we could go to our voters with and say we're proud supporters of public radio. Thank you.
Representative Nicolai.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would concur with the previous speaker. I do agree that there is a lot of good local talent out there that that do take time out to learn how to use the radio and speak on the radio. And they not only do that, but they also depend on the radio to listen to whatever news is coming their way, whether it's good or bad. They also use it for communicating with Department of Fish and Game during the summer fishing seasons, for fishing schedules, and they also depend on it for the weather. And I would encourage you to vote for this. Coming from a district of 78 communities, those 78 communities out there really do depend on the radio in their areas. And I know that they don't have as many stations as they do in the urban areas, but even one station is worth it for them. And I would recommend funding that program.
Being no further debate, members may proceed to vote. Any member fail to vote, will the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member wish to change their vote? Will the clerk please tally the board?
15 yeas, 25 nays.
And so Amendment Number 3 has failed to be adopted. Clerk, please read the next amendment upon her desk.
Amendment Number 4 by Representative Finkelstein, beginning page 25, line 23.
Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. What this amendment is intended to do is to increase the Alaska Tourism Marketing Council budget by $1 million and take the funding from fire suppression. The Tourism Marketing Council is a critical program, a cooperative program we have with private industry. It's, I think, one of the state's success programs. We did increase the amount of money the industry is supposed to contribute last year. We may need to continue to do that. But the overall program, I think, is very good. It's tourism is one of the areas that we're doing okay in. We've got, you know, problems with fish prices and oil prices, but so far we've been able to hold our own the last few years in tourism despite a number of obstacles. It's a critical support to a variety of Alaskan...
Representative Finkelstein, do you suppose you could bring yourself to move the amendment?
Oh, thank you, Madam Speaker. I move the amendment.
There is objection.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. It is the biggest or second biggest employer in the state, and I believe our support for this industry is critical. The interesting story in today's paper from Juneau on the fact they're using some of these funds to bring Good Morning America to Alaska. It's a great way to get a huge amount of exposure to the state. These kind of activities, which are critical to compete with other states and other countries, which are spending many millions and millions of dollars. Texas has a major campaign going on that's eclipsed anything we've ever done in the past or could do with the amount of funds available. Texas, you know, they're selling Texas in a way it makes it seem like it's some great place to go. We've got a great place. You know, we've really got something to sell, and pictures are what sell our place, and I just think it's as critical as ever. In terms of fire suppression, I do support the fire suppression budget. The way it works is it's an unpredictable amount, of course, based on how dry the summer is. It's possible it can come in at a lower level. Usually what happens, though, in fact, almost always, is they way overspend it, and it is paid with a supplemental the next year. There's major reforms needed here because we've never been able to control this in the budget. They essentially are being given a blank check to spend what they want, and we pay for it in the supplementals, and it's time we get that under control as well. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Representative McLean.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I oppose this amendment because I'd like to remind the people where fires start during the summer and the spring months, and also tourism doesn't bring, well, fires are very hazardous during the summer months. We have very dry seasons, and tourism is not going to protect the forests.
Representative Mackey.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I wanted to just ask, I guess, if the fire suppression, are we talking about the forest fire suppression or funds from public safety that go towards fire suppression? Or could somebody that, maybe the subcommittee chair or whoever that's affected, tell us what the result of $1 million cut to that agency would do?
Representative Terrio.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The result of $1 million shift here would be that there would be $1 million increase in next year's supplemental. This would be the funds that are used to pay for the fixed cost for fire suppression and also some portion of the actual suppression. I noted that it seems like a number of the amendments are coming in and at least trying to be revenue neutral, and Madam Speaker, in my opinion, this one would not. It would just be a shift to next year's supplemental.
Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The previous speaker is correct. I sat on that subcommittee for a couple of years, and that is the system, how it works. But no matter what, there's a supplemental next year. The problem exists with this item and why I support making a reduction. It is not going to make any change in the number of people hired this summer on firework. The previous speaker is absolutely correct. We've got this system where we have lost our control of the budget in this area, and we need to get that control back. I don't know when that's going to happen. It didn't happen in the previous 2 years, and I'm not sure it's going to happen now. There are always supplementals for this item, for every year in recent history at least, and it will, though, reduce this year's budget $1 million. It is a revenue neutral. Hopefully we'll take up that problem next year and resolve it, and it is impossible to predict the supplemental, but I would agree with the previous speaker. That has been the practice.
Being no further debate, members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote, will the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member wish to change their vote? Representative Cott. Will the clerk please tally the board?
16 yeas, 24 nays.
So, amendment number 4. We got another one asleep at the switch. Please clear the board. Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Will the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member wish to change their vote? Representative Navarre. Any other member? Will the clerk please tally the board?
15 yeas, 25 nays.
So, amendment number 4 has failed to be adopted. Clerk, please read the next amendment upon our desk.
It's a new amendment number 5 by Representative Sitton, beginning page 25, line 18.
Representative Sitton.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move amendment number 5.
There is objection. You have the floor.
I would like to speak for my amendment, Madam Speaker. It seems to me like if I could give a person $10 and get back $500, prudence would dictate that I gave the $5. In this case, for $9,700 in general fund monies, we'd be getting $50,000 in federal monies. The Alaska Works Program is one of the programs that we are relying on to reduce the welfare rolls in this state, something close to many hearts in this room. And I would move the money from the Office of International Trade to fund this so that it would be a wash. I would think that getting people off the welfare rolls and putting them to work in Alaska is infinitely more important than having a posh, expensive office in Tokyo.
Representative McLean.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Respectfully, I will have to oppose this amendment. No. We did cut the Tokyo's office back in international trade, and we scaled back the Tokyo's office rent and operating expenses already, and we also deleted his residence rents, the person that is in Tokyo, with the intent that that person will move back to Anchorage. So Tokyo office is really nothing.
Being no further debate, there he is, Representative Nordland.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I rise in support of this amendment. I just, again, want to point out to the members here that the 1.7 that's being cut here is going to mean a loss of an additional $37.7 million, or $1,000 rather, in federal matching funds. It's counterproductive to not adopt this amendment in terms of helping close the fiscal gap.
Being no further debate, members may proceed to vote. Any member fail to vote, will the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member wish to change their vote, will the clerk please tally the roll?
15 yeas, 23 nays.
So amendment number 5 has failed to be adopted. Clerk, please read the next amendment upon her desk.
New amendment number 6 by Representative Sitton, beginning page 25, line 18.
Representative Sitton.
I move amendment 6.
There is objection. You have the floor.
Madam Speaker, now that we have our troops home from Japan with the reduction the earlier speaker spoke of, it's important that we maintain our Alaska hire and prevailing wage functions in this state. And that's what this amendment would do. It would keep an investigator in Anchorage and for the enforcement of local hire and prevailing wage laws. This has always been an important function in Alaska, given the nature of our employment, the nature of our economy, and I would urge you to support this amendment. Thank you very much.
Being no further debate, members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote, would the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member wish to change their vote? Representative Davies. Would the clerk please tally the board?
15 yeas, 24 nays.
So amendment number 6 has failed to be adopted. Clerk, please read the next amendment upon her desk.
New amendment number 7 by Representative Sitton, beginning page 25, line 18.
Representative Sitton.
Madam Speaker, I move amendment 7.
There is objection. You have the floor.
On a serious note, Madam Speaker, we'll recall, everyone in this body will recall, I'm sure, the tragedy 2 years ago or so in Anchorage where a passenger in an elevator was decapitated by an elevator that was out of whack. And also, most members in this body, I think, Madam Speaker, will, if they think about it, remember the last time you were in an elevator and you read that little thing on the wall that says inspected by. I see all too many of them, Madam Speaker, that say Governor Egan as governor. We are not inspecting our elevators. This is a grave thing. The ones in this very building have not been inspected. And while I was pointing, Madam Speaker, I was looking straight at you, so the ones in this building have not been.
Point at me too.
I wouldn't dare. This is a serious matter. This $37,500 increment will keep one of our existing elevator operators, who already has more work than she can handle, from being cut down to half a year. And given the number of elevators in Anchorage where this position is, given the number of elevators to check and the new construction, I urge the people to support this amendment number 7.
Representative Cott.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I wonder if the maker of the amendment could tell me how many elevators we have in Anchorage.
Representative Sitton.
3, Madam Speaker, all operated by mule power.
Being no further debate, members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote, Will the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member wish to change their vote? Will the clerk please tally the board?
15 yeas, 24 nays.
So amendment number 7 is failed to pass the House. Clerk, please read the next. At ease. House, please come back to order. If the elevator guy would take his seat, probably we could come back to order. Representative Sitton, before we stood at ease, we were about to read, or had we read? We had not read amendment number 7. We're number 8. Excuse me. Would the clerk please read amendment number 8?
New amendment number 8 by Representative Sitton, beginning page 1, line 4.
Representative Sitton.
Madam Speaker, I noticed with my amendments, it comes to mind an old biblical quote, all things shall become as new. Apparently all mine are new amendments, and I'm gratified to know that. I would like to move amendment number 8, Madam Speaker.
There is objection. You have
Before I propose my amendment and defend it and sell you on it, I would like to change it a little bit. I would actually like to delete the reference to page 1, line 4, and propose as this amendment only page 25, line 18.
Without objection, so noted.
Madam Speaker, this amendment restores the most recent 2.5% across-the-board cut to the Department of Labor, and it does it from the Office of International Trade. And I would like to talk to you a little bit about the Department of Labor from my background of 4 years in it. The Department of Labor is one of the smallest departments in the state, and yet it has some of the most critical functions. In the years that I have followed the Department of Labor's budget, it has routinely submitted responsible budgets. You don't find a lot of hidden things in the Department of Labor's budget like you do in some of the other ones. And given their role for safety and for prevailing wage and Alaska Hire and for providing unemployment insurance and workers' comp and for getting the people off the welfare rolls, getting all these people off the welfare rolls by putting them to work in good Alaska jobs, while $240,300 doesn't look like much in the context of the budget we're dealing with, it is quite a lot, Madam Speaker, to the Department of Labor's budget. So I would respectfully urge my distinguished and wise colleagues from all around the state in this body to support me in restoring this 2.5% cut to the Department of Labor. Thank you very much.
Representative Davidson.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I believe it's time to wake up. That's right, Madam Speaker. Because what are we doing to our state? With the leave of the body, Madam Speaker, in a minute, if I could, I would just like to quote a line from a letter that I received today from a former safety inspector of this type of mechanical thing in Kodiak. But before I do that, I just would like to
with the leader of the people, body, you may quote.
Thank you. This is from the inspector who retired, and he's been following the position that has been open in Kodiak since last August. We do not have a safety inspector or a mechanical inspector such as we're talking about here in this amendment. And his letter states, I've had many employees and some employers call and stop me since I have retired, wondering why there was no one here to give them guidance or to help with respect to working conditions. Madam Speaker, it was just this past 2 weeks that we lost a cannery worker in Kodiak because inspections were not being performed that would have made a safe working environment for that person. It's time to wake up, Madam Speaker, and ask ourselves, what are we doing to our state by allowing people to work under conditions that are less than safe and take fathers from their children and pile cost upon cost because we're not doing our job as policymakers of this state? I would urge adoption of this amendment. Thank you.
Additional debate being none, members may proceed to vote. If any member failed to vote, would the clerk please lock the roll? If any member wish to change their vote, would the clerk please tally the board?
14 yeas, 24 nays.
So amendment number 8 failed to be adopted. Clerk, have additional amendments upon her desk.
Amendment number 9 by Representative Davies, beginning page 1, line 4.
Representative Davies.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move amendment number 9.
There is an objection. You have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. This amendment would restore the agency unallocated reductions to the University of Alaska increment, and it would fund this by taking it out of the Swan Lake intertie appropriation.
Do you have further debate?
Madam Speaker, I would just, if I could, I would just like to observe that the University of Alaska budget request originally came in at around $171 million. That's the same number that was appropriated last year. And the Board of Regents had suggested a $27 million worth of increments on top of that. The governor approved the increments, but granted a $27 million unallocated reduction, so that the net was that the University of Alaska budget would come in at a status quo budget, flat from FY94. The increments that the regents thought were of sufficient priority, among them were $3.5 million for salaries and benefits, $4.3 million that would cover about 90% of the system-wide fixed cost increases, almost $5 million for building maintenance, renewal, and replacement, $1.5 million for dormitory security and training for personnel for the security, and almost $10 million, $9.7 million to improve instructional delivery. That would include new faculty, some equipment, and teleconferencing to rural sites, and about $1.4 million in anticipated research grant receipts. Madam Speaker, if we simply funded the budget at last year's level, all of those things will have to be reallocated within the existing budget. When we make cuts on top of that, it's just going to make those already necessary reallocations that much more difficult. So I think this additional reduction that was taken at the last minute here is ill-advised for those reasons, and would urge the members of this body to join me in restoring that cut and noting that this is a revenue-neutral proposal.
Representative McLean.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like to say, give me a break, okay, please, because under District 14 subcommittee chair, they were the ones that didn't have hardly any cuts. Give us a break. All agencies did.
Representative Williams.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like to speak against the amendment here that you have before you, talking about taking the $4 million out of the Tyee Swan Lake project. I believe that I do support education, and I think that if we need it, we also need the economic development that this project puts forth before the people of my district. And Wrangles. I think that it is very important to both myself and the representative from District 2 that we keep this in our district. Thank you.
Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I just want to say one thing about there's a number of amendments to these type of projects. This is sort of taking capital money and putting it into the operating budget. It's one-time money. And actually, it isn't one-time money, because these are loans that are going to go out to be made, and they will be paid back by people. And I think the economic development, and if people are willing to pay that money back, is very valuable to us. So to take it totally out to allow that development, as well as the repayment that can be used in the future for other things, and put it into something that will be ongoing, we'll have to make that tough decision again next year, is inappropriate.
Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. My memory is probably not perfect on this, but I don't think this is a loan. This is a grant. There are additional loans associated as well, but I'm almost positive that this is a pure appropriation, no return to the Treasury.
Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. If I might briefly read Section 5A, subject to the conditions, $20 million is appropriated for deposit for payment as a loan under this to the participating utilities for the construction of a Swan Lake Tie Interties, and that's in session laws.
Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I just want to, I'm sure the member is correct, and I appreciate the clarification.
Representative Brown.
Well, Madam Speaker, I think a dollar is a dollar, and it's up to us to look at the dollars available and what they're being spent on and decide which things are the highest priority at this time. And I think members who have been here a while will remember some of the circumstances surrounding the original loans to the Ford and Poole projects. And a lot of those had to be gone back and redone after the fact because they lacked basic viability. And I certainly would stand in support of this amendment. We need to not be so fixated about whether things are in the capital budget or in the operating budget. It all adds up to be the bottom line. And I think this is an appropriate place to be finding dollars to fund high priority items within the operating budget.
Further debate, Representative Davies.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Just to respond a little briefly to the representative from District 37 who says, give us a break. That's exactly what I'd like to say, you know, on behalf of the university, is give us a break. When you look at all the other formula-driven programs, the formula programs recognize that there's an increase in population. We need to also recognize that there's been an increase in population that affects the student body of the University of Alaska, that there's enrollment has increased at least 2 to 3% state system-wide over the entire state. The university is struggling with trying to deliver quality service across the state, both in urban areas and in rural areas, and that's not an easy task. And I would hope that members would join me in recognizing the difficult task the university takes on, and also recognizing that the university has, as more than most other agencies, has been very aggressive at going out and seeking other funds. The university, for its entire operations, now is requesting less than 50% of state dollars to run the University of Alaska. So I think that the university has given us a break, and I think that we need to recognize that and support it.
Question before the body is adoption amendment number 9. Members may proceed to vote. Any member fail to vote, would the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member wish to change their vote? Madam Minority Leader, yea to nay. Representative Porter. Clerk, please tally the board.
12 yeas, 27 nays.
So amendment number 9 failed to be adopted. Clerk, please read the next amendment upon her desk.
Amendment number 10 by Representative Davies, beginning page 1, line 4.
Representative Davies.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move amendment number 10.
His objection. You have elicited lots of objections, so you have the floor.
I think there's an echo in here, Madam Chair, Madam Speaker. This is an amendment in the same spirit as the last one, only this one is directed at restoring the unallocated reduction to the Department of Natural Resources in the amount of $1,107,300 general fund. Madam Speaker, a similar argument applies here, and many arguments along these lines have already been advanced. I won't take a lot of time doing it, but just to remind people that we went through quite a long process looking at the department's budget. That representative behind me that chaired that committee worked real hard with the commissioners to try to find reductions that made sense. I agreed with some of those and some I didn't, but in any case, the fact is that a lot of work was done at finding reductions that wouldn't hurt the state too much. In the full finance committee, we adjusted some of those reductions and tried to juggle it around so that this department, which is one of the major resource departments of the state that has the awesome responsibility of tracking the oil and gas industry and of also offering lease sales so that we can hopefully find more oil resources in the state, and also supports the mining operations, the timber operations, agriculture in the state. I believe that to make this further reduction is just cutting the goose that lays the golden egg, and we're cutting it too much here. So I believe that this is a good addition to the budget here. Also, I note that in the same manner as before, this is revenue neutral.
Madam Minority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Just very briefly, I would like to support our restoring some funding to the Department of Natural Resources. I met with representatives from that agency about a week ago and asked how far behind they are in the permitting process on the various development projects around the state of Alaska. And if you look at all of the requests that have come into DNR for water permits and all the other permits that DNR is responsible for, they have a backlog of 3,000 permits. And that's getting worse, and this budget is going to make that worse. Madam Speaker, you can't have economic development in this state unless you adequately fund the resource agencies that have the responsibility to review the request for permits and issue them in a responsible manner. Madam Speaker, it just seems to me to be penny wise and pound foolish to put these agencies in a position where they cannot do their jobs adequately or in a timely fashion, because who it hurts is the private sector. It hurts their ability to move forward on projects, whether it's the AJ mine in Juneau or any project in the state of Alaska. We can't have it both ways, Madam Speaker. We can't say that we want to create private jobs, we want projects to go forward, and then to continue to cut these resource agencies that have the permitting responsibility. So, Madam Speaker, I urge members to vote yes.
Representative McLean.
Could we have a brief at ease, please?
I'll stand at ease. Order. Where were we? We were having so much fun I couldn't hardly stand it. Amendment number 10. We were debating it. The debate is over. It's time to vote. Representative Terrio.
Yes, Madam Speaker, I would just check this on my calculator, and the mathematics don't work. The reduction up above is actually $1,104,000.
And 300.
Representative Davies, you have the floor.
Madam Speaker, I was aware of that, but I decided you guys probably weren't going to vote for this anyway, so it wasn't too important. But if the representative from behind me I would like to make a conceptual amendment, or if you'll just write in the correct numbers there, so that the reduction is actually matches the increment to the Department of Natural Resources. So just conceptually, people can understand that the Section 40 reduction, Session Law 93, would be of an amount that would be sufficient to cover the $1,107,300 from general fund. Okay? And with that, Madam Speaker, with the math being correct, I would urge everyone to join me and my colleague from North Pole in supporting this.
Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'm going to speak in favor of this amendment. I think it makes perfect sense if we're going to be able to afford more programs like the Intertie and other capital projects, we're going to have to provide for oil and gas leading a significant portion of the reductions that were taken by this unallocated reduction will impact the permitting process, the leasing program with respect to oil and gas in this state. It makes little sense to attempt to kill the golden goose. Those of you who proclaim to be in favor of economic development will not pass the red face test if we don't support the funding levels adequate to ensure that the agencies responsible for economic development, providing for economic development, are not funded adequately. I also want to point out, Madam Speaker, some historical footnotes. When I first came into the legislature and Esther Wenneke was chair or was commissioner of the Department of Natural Resources, I remember then that we were talking about some significant reductions in the budget, and I came in at a bad time. It's been downhill ever since I got here. But she was talking about some reductions to the. Well, we were talking about reductions to the budget, and we asked all the commissioners to come up with a level of reductions, and most of the commissioners at the time came in and said, we can't cut our budget, we can't do anything to cut our budget. And Commissioner Wenneke came in also and said, look, we don't want to cut our budget, we think our funding is important, but if you're going to cut our budget, this is the areas that we think is most responsible for the areas to be reduced. And the legislature snapped them up. The other commissioners and agencies who fought against any reductions in their budgets were successful. And as a result, what happened with DNR is they've always been behind with respect to the reductions and the next year's reductions, because we always start from the previous year's level. So in addition to the other reductions that we've taken this year in this budget, the additional reduction, unallocated reduction, makes little sense for resource development in the state, for which Department of Natural Resources is primarily responsible. So I would urge members, in the spirit of economic development and the future of this state, support this amendment.
Representative Brown, you too.
Madam Speaker, thank you very much. Another reason we need to adopt this amendment is the unallocated reduction had the effect, or I shouldn't call it unallocated, it is allocated, and it's allocated in every component in DNR. Madam Speaker, many of these reductions are to program receipts in such areas as the Pipeline Coordinator's Office, where they will not be able to accept money from Alyeska, in DGGS, where they are not going to be able to realize the expected amount of industry contributions, and in Parks, in the Recorder's Office. Madam Speaker, this budget, even before this last reduction, was in a situation that's not going to lead to responsible land management. In information resources management, we already had a six-month backlog. This reduction, as well as the one taken earlier, is going to increase that backlog by 15 to 20%. And I don't think that this is smoke being blown by the agencies. I think this is the reality of when we go in and make across-the-board reductions like this, we get effects that don't make any sense. And in the case of DNR, this is particularly true. I think the general funds in here are very needed, as well as the program receipts, and it's a shame to be making any further reductions to the Department of Natural Resources. That's why we need to adopt Amendment Number 10.
Madam Minority Leader.
Thank you. Madam Speaker, the memo that was attached that describes some of the specific cuts, I think it would be worth it for folks to take a moment to look at it. The Kotzebue Technical Center, AvTech, Mount Edgecombe Boarding School, Voc Rehab, Libraries, Archives, and Museums. You know, it's one thing to simply take an across-the-board cut and not know what the impacts are going to be. But when you take a look at what the reductions will result in and know the value of these programs, I think it becomes more difficult for people to simply say, well, you know, let's just go with cut without thinking about it. Having had the opportunity recently to visit Mount Edgecombe Boarding School and see the very positive things that are being done with young people from all over Alaska, I just have to say I think we're headed in the wrong direction to give them less capacity to do one of the most successful programs in the state of Alaska. So, Madam Speaker, I would urge members to vote yes on this amendment.
Representative Olberg.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would rise in opposition to this amendment specifically because of the funding source, and rather than bore you with my feelings about the Sutton to Glen Allen intertie, I would simply like to associate myself with the remarks of the representative from Tanana, who I thought was very eloquent and said it as well as it can be said, and I would urge the members to vote no. Thank you.
Being no further debate, members may proceed to vote. If any member fail to vote, would the clerk please lock the roll? Any member wish to change their vote, would the clerk please tally the board?
15 yeas, 24 nays.
And so amendment number 19 has failed to be adopted. Clerk, please read the next amendment upon her desk.
Amendment number 20 by Representatives Hoffman and Mackey, beginning page 1, line 4.
Representative Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Before I move the amendment, maybe you might ask the Sergeant of Arms to check the board. Something must be wrong with it. It keeps on coming up with the same numbers.
I noted that, and I had it checked out, and everything was working just fine.
I move amendment number 20 and ask that somebody object. The amendment, what are we doing with public safety, I think is real critical to the state of Alaska, and especially in light of many of the bills that we had passed. We're talking about getting tough on crime. We're passing a lot of legislation to that effect. But I think it's going to be all for naught if we don't fund the department with the dollars that it needs to go out and assure that the people of the state are going to be safe. I would say that when you're looking at, particularly in rural areas of the state, you're talking about cutting out $370,000, which will be approximately 10 VPSOs. You're not going to get better protection. We're having a lot of problems, maybe not the same type of problems that that Anchorage and Fairbanks and other places are having with drive-by shootings and gangs, but I assure you there are some safety problems in many of the small communities, and the people in rural Alaska need to feel safe just as the people in urban Alaska need to feel safe. And there already are several communities that don't have VPSOs. We talked a little bit about earlier this morning on the budget about the cuts to the domestic violence and sexual assault program. Whether this is the actual amount or not, I guess remains to be seen, but in the budget reductions, the department has stated that they anticipate a $350,000 a reduction to domestic violence and sexual assault. And I believe that this will be going too far. Although there may be some controversy about the revenue source that has been slated for reductions, I think that if we are truly going to have an impact upon safety of the citizens of the state, this amendment has to be taken very seriously by this body, and I would urge the body support. I might note that it says in my horoscope today that before knocking yourself out, be sure it is worth the effort. Thank you.
Representative Mackey.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I just want to speak in favor of this amendment. I think reality is, you know, that where these cuts are going to come from, the $1 million unallocated reduction in Department of Public Safety, will come from VPSOs and from actual law enforcement and other things. And I'd like to just relate to you briefly what a VPSO does in a rural community where VPSOs are stationed. Many of you that live in communities like I do that have a local police department sometimes don't really realize the effect of what a VPSO means to a village. I'd like to relate to you about a VPSO who was a friend of mine when I used to be involved with the program, Madam Speaker. His name was Howard Amos from Akuriak, Alaska. VPSOs are not only their law enforcement person, but they're also the fire department person and emergency medical person, and are called on in many different situations. Howard Amos, who was the VPSO for the village of Akuriak, was called on, Madam Speaker, to respond to a shooting that had taken place. And when he got there, he found that it had been his sister that was shot. And not only did he do what was necessary to save her life by addressing the medical needs of his sister, he also had the presence of mind to not lose his composure and to remember what he had been trained to, and detained his brother-in-law, who actually did the shooting. And, I mean, the man performed amazingly under the circumstances, if any of you can place yourself in that kind of a situation, especially when it's a family member involved. The reason I say that, Madam Speaker, is because that's one of the VPSOs in all of the years that I've been keeping track of the program and been familiar with it, that truly was a hero in my mind, not only to his village, but to the profession in law enforcement in general. So that's the type of thing, Madam Speaker, that these VPSOs are being called on to respond to, in addition to all the other minor things and even other things that are much more serious. So when we're talking about losing VPSOs in the state of Alaska, we're talking about losing the only law enforcement that that village may have ever, and sometimes the only trained emergency medical person in that community, and a lot of times the only person that's actually been working on some sort of a plan to respond to any fires or anything that occurred in the villages. So I share that with you, Madam Speaker. I know that, you know, I know how the votes are going and how they'll continue to go, but I do want members on this floor to really understand the benefit of the program and the actual effect of removing the money from, you know, the budget in that form of an unallocated reduction. They're going to have no choice but take it out of there. And I just want people to be aware of the type of impact. Having said all that, Madam Speaker, I am one person that does recognize the need to cut the budget. However, Madam Speaker, I do think we need to, at some point in time, prioritize. And I would just say that the chairman of the Public Safety Subcommittee last year and this year did an excellent job in trying to address those needs and went through the proper process, worked very closely with the department, people involved to address where those cuts should be made. An additional unallocated reduction of this sort negates all the hard work and I think very positive effort that was made in addressing the caps that the Finance Committee brought down. My feeling is that the reason for the unallocated reduction is obviously because the committee couldn't reach a target that they had, and they had to go back in to be able to say, well, we met our target. But I just, Madam Speaker, I just, when it comes to situations like this, I just really have to object, because just an unallocated reduction in a vote that how this occurred really shafts what I believe was a process, at least in this particular subcommittee, that was a very honorable process. And so I share that with that one experience with you to hopefully have members really understand what these types of cuts mean. Thank you.
Representative Parnell.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I appreciate the comments the representative from Craig on the work accomplished in the subcommittee. And I'd like to just take a moment to address the actual effect or actual impact that the unallocated reduction will have as intended by the House Finance Committee. Because I think what is happening here is we are being misled a little bit by the Department of Public Safety. We have an unallocated reduction to public safety of 1.25%. The unallocated reduction that you see in the Council for Domestic Violence, they're showing Department of Public Safety is proposing to take $350,000 out of that line. The actual figure is $60,000. That equals 1.25%. Similarly, with VPSOs, they're threatening a reduction of $370,000. That particular component is should sustain a reduction of $61,625. It's not to say that these are not important or significant numbers, but what it is to say is the department has run up a Washington Monument play, in my opinion, and we need to talk about the actual effect and actual intent of what we're trying to accomplish here. In FY93, the department had to take an unallocated reduction of 1.8%. In that time, the Alaska State Troopers took their budgeted overtime from 10 to 6 hours. Fish and Wildlife Protection took their budgeted overtime from 10 to 5 hours. That was not an ideal situation, but at this moment, Fish and Wildlife and the troopers, as I recall, have overtime budgeted with the unallocated reduction at 8 hours. So there is some space there for people, for the department to make some better calls than what they've made in this scenario that they've given us. And I would call upon them to do that because I do believe it's possible based on the process we went through in the committee. This is not a perfect reduction, but I can assure you that the scenario given by the Department of Public Safety is far from accurate. Thank you.
Representative Nicolai. Representative Brown.
Thank you. Well, Madam Speaker, I think this discussion we're having illustrates some of the problems with the budget as it was reported out of the Finance Committee. I don't believe it will be up to the department to decide how to allocate these cuts unless we make some amendments or some amendments get made in the other body. The budget, as I understand it, does allocate specific reductions, and they are not able to move these around. But nonetheless, the effects are there, and there are effects to all of the critical functions, and I believe that all the functions in this department are critical, and that we don't need to be making our reductions in this area, public safety.
Minority Leader.
Well, thank you, Madam Speaker. I'm just having a little bit of trouble here trying to understand what the cut really will mean. If it's not what we have been told by the Department of Public Safety, what I understood the chairman of the subcommittee to say was reduce overtime. Well, Madam Speaker, I'm willing to submit to you that they're not going to cut $1 million out of their budget by just reducing overtime. So how is the reduction going to impact what the Department of Public Safety does? They are already carrying, as I recall, a fairly high vacancy load. And they're not in a position to really make a lot of discretionary moves in terms of their personnel unless we're talking about layoffs. And if we're talking about layoffs, we're either talking about Fish and Wildlife officers or we're talking about state troopers. And I don't think there are many members on the floor who think that's a particularly good idea. So if it's not Fish and Wildlife officers or state troopers, and if it's not reducing the contract line for VPSOs or domestic violence shelters, what is it? There isn't enough administration there, Madam Speaker, to take $1 million out of there. So I would respectfully request from the subcommittee chair to tell us what difference this reduction will make. And if we don't know, as I submit to you, Madam Speaker, we don't know, then I think we ought to go back to the Finance Committee and figure out how this budget is going to impact the people of the state.
Representative Barnett. Being enough, Representative Larson.
Yes, thank you, Madam Speaker. You know, we keep asking the same question over and over again. You know, is the reduction going to have any effect, and what is that reduction going to be? I think I outlined earlier today just how the reductions would be taken, and I guess it's not our fault if the departments or the agencies came back with the recommendations the way they did. Maybe they should have been there when the Finance Committee was making its recommendations and give a report having to do with following those recommendations instead of trying to do what they did all year, and that was not to really give any support at all at any time it came to making the hard decisions that were necessary if we're going to be responsible for the revenues of the state of Alaska. It's not our fault. I think it's to the agency's fault.
Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I take exception to that. I did attend the public safety subcommittees, or at least the ones where we were closing out the budget. And if you'll recall earlier, we didn't have caps until March 10th, I believe, for subcommittees, and up to that point, not much purpose. And after the action that the Finance Committee took last Friday, it seems that the whole subcommittee process was a waste of time in any event. So having said that, I'll say that, you know, when we had the Department of Public Safety in and talked about the different areas of the budget and where they would cut, there was some pretty serious discussion about what the impacts were going to be from not funding the increments that the governor asked for in his budget with respect to public safety protection around the state, and what the trade-offs were, and they were tough calls. I know that one of the things that we did was eliminate the narcotics enforcement unit and put that money into troopers so that we would not have to eliminate troopers, so that we would take some of those people who were doing that narcotics task force work and put them back on the street so that we could hopefully get more protection in that manner. I asked some questions about the increase in the amount of overtime and the overtime hours that were funded in the budget, and I guess I was convinced at that point that the overtime is definitely warranted. Otherwise, what you're going to end up with is increased costs or increased demand for overtime, or trying to increase court time, or increasing court time because you're going to be transferring the case from one person to the other when the person who's handling the case has to go off duty and can't meet the overtime hours that are sometimes required. Also, I'll say that I think that the subcommittee chair did a pretty good job on the budget, and one of the reasons I didn't feel actually necessary to go to all of the subcommittee meetings is that, one, I had conflicts, and two, I actually trusted him to do a good job. I was on the subcommittee last year. I think that he is quite sincere in the way that he approaches it, and the efforts that he makes to be both fair and address the long-term concerns that we have with a needed reduction in the budget. And while I think we did that at the subcommittee, I think that the unallocated reduction that was taken by the Finance Committee did not do service to or justice to the efforts that he made. I'll also say that I think that the cuts that the department has offered stem somewhat from the confusion over how the unallocated cuts were supposed to be taken. I don't think that direction was given clearly to the departments. They just heard, well, we got another 1.25% reduction, or 2% or 2.5% unallocated reduction. Unallocated means they decide. Allocated means the Finance Committee decides, and the way it turned out is it's sort of an unallocated allocated reduction. And if there's not enough confusion in the budget process already, we've added some. Madam Speaker, I think that while I've always supported the Interties and until today, I think that this public safety, both in rural areas and urban areas of this state, are a far higher priority, far higher. And that I will, of course, be supporting this amendment. I've not supported all the amendments, but I do think that this one makes a lot of sense, and I would urge members to vote in favor.
Representative Larson.
Yes, thank you, Madam Speaker. You know, it's easy to think back and probably what difference a couple of years make, but I remember unallocated reduction of 1.8% in conceptual nature that was made in the Finance Committee that then had to be dealt with on the floor and in conference committee and so forth. We accompanied our unallocated reduction with the intent language given direction that also appears in the budget. And I just would hope that everyone would have an opportunity to look at it. That it is the intent of the legislature that all general reductions be implemented through efficiency and reductions in personnel, travel, equipment, and contracts. It is the intent that the agencies achieve efficiency by finding new means and methods of doing business and establishing new administrative procedures. So we not only had non-allocated reduction, but we did have intent language directing the agencies on how to follow the legislative wishes.
Could we just vote and then take the at ease? Well, I guess we'll take the at ease. Compared to the time we stood at ease, we were on amendment number 20. We had exhausted the debate, and Representative Navarro is standing up.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I was exhausted, but during the brief at ease, I've been rejuvenated, and I'd like And I'd like to say a couple of other, add a couple of comments with respect to the intent language that's added, and I'd like members to read the intent language. Because the intent language, and if I could have the leave of the body, it is the
you
intent...
You have the leave.
It is the intent of the legislature that all general reductions be implemented through efficiencies and reductions in personnel, travel, equipment, and contracts. It is intended that state agencies achieve efficiencies by finding new means and methods of doing business and establishing new administrative procedures.
You do
wow.
that very well.
That's powerful, isn't it? What it basically says is we can't do it, so we're going to hope that adding this fluff in the budget allows somebody to be confused enough to think that we actually accomplished something.
Representative Larson.
Thank you. It really doesn't mean that we can do it. It means that who should have been doing it all along should have done it.
Representative Davidson.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Well, I don't know who done it, but I'm certainly not exhausted and just getting started here.
Oh, I didn't say you were exhausted, honey. I said the debate was exhausted.
Your familiar term is...
I knew you were going to say that.
Decorum, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I rise in support of Amendment Number 20. And we've had a lot of discussion, a lot of good discussion, perhaps a lot of the good discussion that should have taken place in the Finance Committee and perhaps other committees. One speaker talked about the actual intent. Well, Madam Speaker, I'm not good at what is the actual intent here because, frankly, the budget is confusing. But I do know what the actual result is. And I can have to go no further than one of my villages, Port Lyons, in, near Kodiak, to understand what the actual intent of this amendment would do. It gets them back up just a little bit beyond what we call a jail in Port Lyons. It's an eye bolt stuck into the wall that if you go outside and look at the bottom of the wall is rotting away, and the jail, Madam Speaker, is an eye bolt with a chair on it. That's how we do public safety and the facilities that we provide for the public safety officer in Port Lyons, Alaska. Now, there are other problems that we have without adopting this amendment, Madam Speaker. Oftentimes, the mere presence of public safety officers is enough to encourage prevention of an illegal act. So, rather than pass the policy buck back and forth here in this body, let us do our job and ensure that we've done all we can to ensure that the revenues that we can get for our state are enough to perform the job that we have, and that is setting the policy and providing the resources for that policy to ensure that people feel safe, not only on the streets of our larger cities, but also in our small villages, as well as other areas of our state where people have very little presence of public safety. So with that, Madam Speaker, I would urge a yes vote on Amendment 20 to ensure that the Department of Public Safety has sufficient funds to do their job, and we should stop pointing the policy finger.
Representative Davies.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I rise in support of this amendment.
Representative Nicolai.
While I do concur with the representatives from District 5, 6, and 9, I don't approve of the funding source, and I'll have to vote no on this.
Being no further, Representative Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. In wrapping up, I think that this legislature has made a commitment to public safety for the safety of all the citizens of the state. And I'm quite concerned, I guess, that during the process in the Finance Committee, when the unallocated reductions came forth, there was some concern about how they would be implemented. And it was with this in mind that we had asked at least to have some response from the commissioners to find out what impacts these unallocated reductions would have. And I think at least we should have heard from the Commissioner of Public Safety, since we are making safety an issue this year. We need to assure all the citizens of the state that they are safe and that the criminals are put behind bars. I'm concerned that by not adequately funding this budget, we will be only achieving one thing. Since our jails are overcrowded, maybe the criminals out there won't get caught and they won't overcrowd our prisons. And I'm also concerned, I guess, since the minority leader had asked the chairman of the Public Safety Committee where the cuts would come from, and by him not responding, I'm concerned that we truly don't know what impacts we're going to have in the area of public safety and the protection of our citizens. And quite frankly, Madam Chairman, that frightens me.
Being no additional debate, members may proceed to vote. If any member fail to vote, would the clerk please lock the roll? If any member wish to change their vote, would the clerk please tally the board?
16 yeas, 23 nays.
So amendment number 20 has failed to be adopted. Clerk, please read the next amendment upon our desk.
Amendment number 21 by Representative Finkelstein, beginning page 33, line 14.
Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I have amendment number 21.
There is objection.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. This would restore the $200,000 to the Hazardous Substance Spill Technology Review Council. The money would come from the 470 Fund, the Hazardous Substance Response Fund, not from the General Fund. And it's an interesting item. It's a item that comes from our state laws, an item that this legislature or a legislature passed previous years to, because of the Exxon Valdez spill, to try to find the best technologies out there. We learned in the case of the Exxon Valdez that billions of dollars were spent by industry and by the state to try to clean up the spill. But it was not a particularly efficient effort. In fact, many of the efforts were completely a waste. There's no doubt in the world of government and industry that new technologies and choosing among the technologies that are out there is the key to spill cleanup. You can put 1,000 people on the thing. You can spend unlimited funds on equipment, but it doesn't do any good if you don't have the right technique, the right technology for the particular conditions that the spill creates. So we, by law, created this fund. We have funded in the past. These funds were removed this year, and I think one of the things that makes this program unique is that the taxpayer wants to pay it. This is a program where we received letters from the oil companies who were involved in this program saying that they support this program. And these are the same companies that pay into the 470 Fund, which provide the money. So here we have a willing taxpayer. Someone has come forward and said, yes, we think this is a good program. We want to work with the state on this. We like the results of this cooperative effort. We are willing to pay this tax. This is a good idea, and we want to keep on doing it. And I think, Madam Speaker, to fail to accept the money they want to offer when it's required by state law, when it's a critical effort of our spill prevention program, I think it's very, very short-sighted. And if there's another spill of the magnitude we faced before, we're going to regret this decision.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I stand in support of the amendment and would just like to point out part of the reason that these cuts were made. Our DEC subcommittee went beyond the cap assigned by the co-chair of finance, and additional cuts were made from the 470 Fund because we anticipated that we were going to be changing this law and that there was going to be less money available for these kinds of activities, and that specifically that we were going to be splitting the nickel 2.5, 2.5, and that would mean that we'd have to trim back our programs in spill prevention. And Madam Speaker, that issue is still alive and under debate in this legislature. If in fact it turns out that way, the governor can veto those dollars later. And this is a very important program that we really ought to be funding from the source that it has always been funded from, which is the 470 Fund. And I hope members will support this amendment. I don't believe this affects adversely the general fund bottom line.
Being no further debate, members may proceed to vote. City member failed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? City member wish to change their vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
16 yeas, 24 nays.
So amendment number 21 has failed to pass the House. Clerk, please read the next amendment upon her desk.
Amendment number 22 by Representative Nordland, beginning page 1, line 4.
Representative Nordland.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I should note on the bottom line, it should read, instead of page 19, line 5, it should read page 23, line 12, and I'd move that amendment.
There is objection.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. This amendment will restore $420,000 into the institutions at Administration BRU and the Department of Health and Social Services. And, Madam Speaker, a particular concern here to me is without this amendment, the potential for the future for the Harborview Developmental Center in Valdez. As you might know, the Harborview has been somewhat in danger of closing because the residents there with developmental disabilities have been moving slowly out of the institution and it's becoming less and less populated. I participated this past summer on a working group that looked for alternatives for Harborview, and we came up with a good one. That was the moving of correctional inmates into Harborview. It was endorsed by our working group as well as endorsed by the residents of Valdez, and it seemed like a very good solution. Now we're informed that due to the 2.5% reduction that has been recently made to the budget, the Harborview will not be able to be populated with correctional residents. And without that, Madam Speaker, I'm afraid that the Harborview Developmental Center is again in jeopardy and may have to close. I'd urge members to vote for this amendment.
Being no further debate, members may proceed to vote. Any member fail to vote, would the clerk please lock the roll?
13 yeas, 27 nays.
And so, amendment number 2 is failed to pass the House. Failed to be adopted. Clerk, please read the next amendment upon her desk.
Amendment number 23 by Representative Brown, beginning page 25, line 6.
Representative Brown.
I move amendment 23.
There is objection. You have the floor.
Thank you. Amendment 23 is a decrement that would go toward our overall deficit. It would close offices, our foreign offices in Japan, Korea, and Taiwan, but would leave intact the offices and personnel of the Office of International Trade that are within the state of Alaska. This amendment also would leave a portion of the or would leave the entire amount for the Northern Forum grant. I shouldn't say the entire amount. In an earlier amendment we considered in the Finance Committee, I had a variation of this in which I also was making a reduction from the Northern Forum, and this does not do that. It only closes those foreign offices. And, Madam Speaker, we had quite a bit of debate about this in the Finance Committee. I continue to believe that this level of activity is not the highest priority in our state at this time, considering the other very serious cuts that we're making to virtually every program. And I've always felt, as a matter of philosophy, that when we got to this point, what we ought to be doing, we're looking for whole programs to close, rather than going in and nicking everything to the point that nothing can function effectively or as it is intended, that we ought to identify things of lower priority and stop doing those. And I'd submit that this area is one of those that would have to fall into a lower priority. It's not a constitutional mandate. It's not required that we do this, and while we have had it for a number of years, I think that the the serious situation we find ourselves in outweighs the benefit that we get from this, and that's why I'm offering this amendment.
Being no further debate, members may proceed to vote. Any member fail to vote, will the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member wish to change their vote, will the clerk please tally the board?
14 yeas, 26 nays.
And so amendment number 23 has failed to be adopted. Clerk, please read the next amendment upon her desk.
Amendment number 24 by Representative Brown, beginning page 33, line 23.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move amendment 24.
There's lots of objections. You have the floor.
Madam Speaker, this amendment would make some reductions in order to restore money in programs that affect public safety. Those specifically are the Office of Public Advocacy, the Public Defender, and the Department of Corrections. Madam Speaker, the money would come from the Storage Tank Assistance Fund. It would reduce the Storage Tank Assistance Fund by $2 million. That would leave almost $2 million in the underground storage tank program for operations and personnel to continue on the grants that have already been made, but we wouldn't be making new grants for assessment or cleanup of these privately owned tanks. Madam Speaker, in my opinion, the Department of Corrections is significantly, seriously underfunded, and I think that was acknowledged by the Finance Committee in choosing to make no further reduction to them when the unallocated slash across the board cuts were made on Friday. The Department of Corrections is, the Commissioner has testified that the budget in this form will lead to serious problems, that it is a threat to public safety, and I believe that. This amendment doesn't totally fix it, but it would add back a significant amount for the Department of Corrections, and would enable them to fund additional beds as requested by the governor. It would also restore the money that is cut from Public Defender and OPA, or rather that was cut before the unallocated. These, again, are mandatory functions that have to be funded. Not funding them now just is really smoke and mirrors, because they have to be funded if the work materializes. In summary, it would add $233,000 to Public Defender, $98,000 to OPA, and $1,669,000 to the Department of Corrections, which is far below what the governor requested, but very needed and necessary. So I'd urge your support for this public safety amendment. It does not do any good to pass crime legislation and to do the things that we're doing if we do not adequately fund the budgets of these agencies within the criminal justice system.
Being no further debate, members may proceed to vote. Any member fail to vote, will the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member wish to change their vote? Representative Bryce? Would the clerk please tally the board?
15 yeas, 25 nays.
So amendment number 24 has failed to be adopted. Clerk, please read the next amendment appearing upon her desk.
Amendment number 25 by Representative Brown, beginning page 27, line 27.
Representative Brown.
I move amendment 25.
Objection. There is objection. You have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. This amendment is a net zero, and it would restore a portion of the reduction to the Department of Natural Resources Division of Parks. Madam Speaker, we in the Finance Committee, recognizing the serious effects that the cuts already made in parks are going to have, restored some of the money, and then the across-the-board reduction wiped that out, and this would put back a portion of it. It would actually put back $88,100 to parks, and in a moment I'll describe where that comes from, but just briefly I wanted to bring the body's attention. what the situation is in the Division of Parks. A number of actions are going to be taken in order to increase fees. They hope to increase fees by a significant amount, by increasing nightly camping, daily parking, annual camping passes, increases, passes for commercial uses in parks. At the level that the subcommittee had proposed, which was roughly $500,000, and this amendment will put us somewhere between the House budget and the subcommittee recommendation, so I would say we won't probably have to close everything, but certainly a majority of the park units that they have identified will have to be closed and mothballed. They had identified 17 parks that would have to be closed if general funds were reduced by $500,000. And they are parks all over the state, in the northern part, the Matsu Valley, the Copper Basin, the Kenai Peninsula, Kodiak, in southeast. I have the list if anybody has not had the opportunity to see it and would like to. Madam Speaker, I think that having a little bit more general funds in the Division of Parks would enable them to mitigate some of the problems that we'll be facing here. Our state parks are a very valuable asset to the state of Alaska. They're not only valuable for the tourists that come here and use them, but they are extremely important to the residents of our state. Our state residents participate in outdoor activities and use our state parks at a higher rate per capita than in any other state. And we know that the state park system has broad public support, and I think people are going to be very upset to learn what the impacts are in the state parks. Madam Speaker, I identified two potential shifts within the budget in order to restore some of the money to parks, and those are the Division of Agriculture new disposal program. I propose we take $51,500 in general funds out of that. Madam Speaker, I was surprised to learn during the budget process that the Division of Agriculture is starting a new disposal program. We've not had any agricultural disposal since 1989. There is at this time about $200,000 in the budget, $207,000 for them to do this activity. So a reduction of $51,000, they would still have some ability to carry on with the new agricultural disposals. The other portion is proposed to come $36,600 from the wolf control program in the Department of Fish and Game. I don't know if you saw this program, this article in the paper. It says the state just wrapped up its first season of controversial wolf control program with 98 animals dead at a cost of $1,000 per wolf. And I think there's still more than $300,000 left in there in the section that they're using for the wolf kill. I think we could kill a little fewer wolves and keep a few more lands rather than dispose them and spend that money to operate our state parks. Thank you.
Being no further debate, members may proceed to vote. Any member fail to vote, would the clerk please lock the roll? Any member wish to change their vote, would the clerk please tally the board?
13 yeas, 27 nays.
So amendment number 25 has failed to be adopted. Clerk, please read the next amendment.
Madam Speaker, we have a brief at ease.
House stand at ease.